This week, I will be focusing on the Taxpayer Advocate Service and the services it can provide with systemic advocacy. This is part of a series with regard to basics for tax controversy, as I am teaching at Washburn University School of Law. Thank you for tuning in.
Welcome to Tax Justice Warriors, the podcast that celebrates the work of low-income taxpayer clinics, focuses on tax controversy work, and looks at related issues in tax news. I am your host, William Schmidt, the director of the Low-Income Taxpayer Clinic at Kansas Legal Services.
This week, while teaching tax procedure, I will be focusing on systemic advocacy, especially with regard to the Taxpayer Advocate Service. I have a guest speaker, the local taxpayer advocate for Kansas, Tracy Wilnard. Now, I wanted to start off with a personal story. When I first met Tracy, we got to chatting, and I learned that her brother was, and still is, the pastor of a church that I had gone to, and my wife had also gone to. He was the main pastor who married us, so Tracy and I had that personal connection, and we have been friends since then. Her and her department have been a pleasure to work with through the years, so it is a pleasure to have her meeting with us this week in the tax procedure course. Now, she will be presenting on what the Taxpayer Advocate Service does, but I will also be talking about both on the individual level, what can be done, and at the systemic level, what the Taxpayer Advocate Service does. And also, I'm going to touch on Freedom of Information Act requests. As I go through this episode, there is quite a bit to unpack with all of the things that I will be going over. So this will just be a brief introduction to different topics that I might delve into some more in the future. So to begin with, that while I will check on transcripts for myself, there may be times that there is a client, a taxpayer who has a tax issue that is over a decade old. And so it makes me wonder, how close is it to expiring with the collection statute expiration date? Now, that is often tricky to determine. There are various actions that a taxpayer can take that will extend the collection statute expiration date. So I will often call the Taxpayer Advocate Service to check and see how soon will that particular year's debt expire with the IRS, where it would be written off. And I'm checking to find out, for example, what is the likelihood that IRS collections will be ramping up any activity before it expires. But also, it is a good thing to know the collection statute expiration date, that if you were going to do an offer and compromise for an individual, that will extend the expiration date for that period. It keeps it open while the taxpayer is in compliance with the offer and compromise. So if you have a debt that is about to expire, perhaps it is best to let that expire, especially if it is a large amount, before you even look into doing an offer and compromise for that individual. This is certainly a balancing act that you will go through, something you need to think over on whether it is worth including a year in an offer and compromise or not, but it is certainly a mistake that a taxpayer can, or a practitioner can get into, of doing an offer for a year that is just about to expire, and doing the offer could then open it up and extend it for up to a period of years, And that is a mistake that you would want to avoid. So that is the first area where I am often checking with the Taxpayer Advocate Service for assistance on a taxpayer. There are times where an individual tells me that they have a tax debt. I look, I don't see any indication, but I will check with the Taxpayer Advocate Service to see if there is an audit going on or some other issue that I may have overlooked. Now, another area is the identity theft. The affidavit is filled out on Form 14039. Now, that is an area that if a client has gone through the identity theft process, they have submitted their documents, but the identity theft department at the IRS says there is no issue. If you believe your client that there is an issue, then it is often worth contacting the Taxpayer Advocate Service to assist in resubmitting that to the identity theft department to do further investigation. Now, I've also seen a case where within the Taxpayer Advocate Service, one of the advocates then did investigation by checking with businesses to find further information that would prove that it was not possible for the taxpayer to be in two different cities at the same time. There are also areas where if the taxpayer has unnecessary delay, that they're not being informed by the taxpayer of what is going on. For example, I have a client with an audit reconsideration request who says he is not receiving any notices from the IRS. That is another time to contact the Taxpayer Advocate Service that they can investigate what is going on and expedite the process or give further information of what is happening. Now, I believe I touched on in a previous episode the refund offset that the IRS does to intercept a taxpayer's refund to pay on a government debt. This can often be a federal or state tax debt. It could also be child support or student loans. But it could just be any miscellaneous government debt that an individual has. Well, if the taxpayer can show that that removal of a refund would create a particular hardship, then the Taxpayer Advocate Service can do a hardship bypass for the taxpayer. Now, a couple things I have learned are that it is necessary to get utility shutoff or foreclosure notices, some kind of proof of a hardship, medical debts may be another one, to prove that there is a hardship in order to get the bypass. Now, those notices have to be timely, so I would say within the last month, perhaps a little bit beyond that may work, but shoot to get those notices as timely as possible so you can show there is a current need to receive the refund in order to pay off bills and avoid hardship such as medical injury, losing a home, or having utilities shut off for the taxpayer. Now, certainly if there is an IRS debt on for the taxpayer, then the Taxpayer Advocate Service can step in that instance. But if the taxpayer has another government debt, then it is pretty limited what the Taxpayer Advocate Service can do on behalf of another government agency. If you have doubt on what kind of debt the taxpayer has, you can contact the Treasury Offset Program Call Center at 1-800-304-3107. They are open Monday through Friday. I am in the Central Time Zone, So it is 7:30 to 5 o'clock Central that I am able to call. Now, you will probably need to have a power of attorney form if you are going to call on behalf of the taxpayer to that phone number. But if they want to call directly and find out more about their government debt, that is the number for them to call. Now, next, I am going to read some notes that these are based off slides from the 2019 American Bar Association Low Income Taxpayer Workshop on December 3rd, 2019. This was the Collection Due Process Summit Initiative. This particular panel had panelists and input from Matthew James, Mary Gillum, James P. Lath, and John B. Snyder III. So to begin, the Taxpayer Advocate Service has particular authority that they can do an operations assistance request when the Taxpayer Advocate Service does not have delegated authority to take actions necessary to resolve taxpayer issues. The operations assistance request is on Form 12412, and that can request actions of other IRS operating divisions or functions. Now, next, there is the Taxpayer Advocate Directive. Delegation Order 13-3 came from the Commissioner, and that provides the National Taxpayer Advocate with a non-delegable authority to issue a Taxpayer Advocate Directive, which may require an IRS unit to change procedures, quote, to improve the operation of a functional process or to grant relief to groups of taxpayers when implementation will protect the rights of taxpayers, prevent undue burden, ensure equitable treatment, or provide an essential service to taxpayers. And finally, there is the Taxpayer Assistance Order. The Taxpayer Advocate Service has the authority to issue a Taxpayer Assistance Order in the case where the taxpayer is suffering or about to suffer significant hardship as a result of the manner in which internal revenue laws are being administered. One result of a taxpayer assistance order is the suspension of IRS collection activity. Now, those areas provide a broad amount of assistance for the Taxpayer Advocate Service, but additionally, they can do systemic advocacy. Part of their mission is to recommend changes to prevent problems. The Taxpayer Advocate Service has an Office of Systemic Advocacy that addresses large-scale problems affecting many taxpayers. Also, there is the SAM system, Systemic Advocacy Management System. This is a web-based system to receive advocacy issues, ideas, and suggestions. It is for taxpayers and practitioners, as well as academic, research, and professional organizations, available at irs.gov/SAMS, S-A-M-S. Next, the Taxpayer Advocate Service does their reports to Congress. They do the annual report to Congress and objectives report to Congress. It is submitted to Congress without Treasury or IRS review. Available at www.taxpayeradvocate.irs.gov/reports. Recently, they have also started the Purple Book, which summarizes the top issues that they are submitting to Congress. And another area is the Taxpayer Bill of Rights. In Internal Revenue Code Section 7803, parentheses, small a, parentheses 3, the commissioner is directed to have departments within the IRS train on the Taxpayer Bill of Rights so that everyone is following the Bill of Rights. And within that December presentation, they also focused on the Freedom of Information Act and requests that can be made of the government. Now, I'm not going to go fully in depth on the Freedom of Information Act requests, But the basics for making a request, there are four basic elements. Number one, state the request is being made under the Freedom of Information Act. Two, specifically identify the records that are being sought. Three, include the name and address of the requester, along with a copy of the requester's driver's license, or a sworn or notarized statement, swearing to or affirming their identity if the request involves the tax records of an individual or business. And four, pay any fees or request a waiver of the fees. Now, for more information, there is a chapter within Effectively Representing Your Client Before the IRS, but I will try and remember to do a deeper explanation of a Freedom of Information Act request in the future. But overall, I wanted to say that the Taxpayer Advocate Service is a huge resource for both the public and the government, that they provide great assistance to practitioners, and they are doing advocacy both on the individual and on the systemic level. At recent times, they have been highly overwhelmed following the government shutdown and other governmental issues, but certainly they are doing the best they can, and I have no complaints on the service they have provided for me. I highly recommend that you make contact to your local taxpayer advocate, that if they are unable to assist you, perhaps another one in your service area or within your state might be able to connect better with you. But I do recommend their services. They are an excellent tool and resource for practitioners. Hopefully you have found something that is of assistance to you. Thank you for tuning in.
Thank you for listening to Tax Justice Warriors. We have a Patreon page if you'd like to support this podcast. Providing monetary support for this podcast helps with expenses like equipment or travel to tax conferences. Supporting this podcast through Patreon comes with rewards, so check out our Patreon page. Please rate or review this podcast because positive reviews help get more people to know this podcast exists. The views expressed on this podcast are not official opinions of the IRS, the Low Income Taxpayer Clinic program, or the employers of the people who spoke on this program. Your tax situation is unique, so do not take the statements on this program as tax or legal advice. Consult with your own tax professional to provide you with specific advice on your situation. Tune in next time on Tax Justice Warriors for another interesting tax discussion.